My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. Thank you. It was Shakespeare who wrote, "How sour sweet music is when time is broke and no proportion kept." There's no truth in the rumour that he had our signature tune in mind. I'd like you to meet our teams, John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. John, here's some jovial music to start things off, but there's something a bit odd about the title.
Well, that's the Joyeuse Marche.
Yes.
I suppose the unusual thing, it's not Marche Joyeuse.
Yes.
Sort of. It is by Chabrier.
That's right. Chabrier's Joyeuse Marche, not Marche Joyeuse.
And it goes into a sort of samba, doesn't it, later on?
Yes.
Yes, a very early samba.
A very joyous piece. It was originally Marche Française for two pianos, but now orchestral. Right. Frank, this tune tends to make me think of Lionel Bart, though it's not his style by a long chalk. Does that make you think of Lionel Bart?
It's very familiar, isn't it?
I don't know
what it is.
Well, I will tell you what.
I don't often think about Lionel Bart, actually, but when I do, I think of him with affection.
Well, I'll give you a very hefty hint. It's that what you heard then was Duke Ellington's "Things Ain't What They Used to Be."
Ah.
So.
I see your point.
Yes.
But Duke hadn't got the things.
Right.
The foof is absolutely essential. Things ain't what they used to be.
By Lionel Bart, yes. How simple your question is, Ian. Who's the singer? Who's his sister? Who was their father? Which show does the song come from? And who composed it?
Great.
Far away where the clouds hover low, I heard a cry like a bird in the snow. Soft was my answer, have comfort, my dear. Why waste a moment when April is here?
Fly home, little
heart. Yes, I think I can answer that,
yes.
Actually. That's
he.
Vernon Midgley is singing.
Right, yeah.
And his sister is Marietta.
Yep.
And their father was Walter.
Midgley.
Is that what you wanted?
That's right, yes, thank you. And the song was Fly Home, Little Heart, from, do you happen to know which show, by whom?
Well, I know who, I can't think of the show, but it was Ivan Novello who wrote
the
music.
Comes from King's Rhapsody.
That's right.
Dennis, where was this recorded, and why do your eyes have that misty look as you recognise the very instrument we hear? Three minutes with Offenbach.
Put on my demister.
Yes.
Then. Well, it's a cinema. I wouldn't know where it was recorded, but, I mean, I don't know how you would know where it was recorded.
Well, I chose it for you because...
Oh, then it would be either at the Trocadero Elephant Castle or the State Kilburn.
It was the Gaumont State Kilburn, yes.
Oh, was it? Well,
where you were, of course.
I was where I started. My first professional writing was for organ solos. those slides that came up in between. That was the first thing I received any money for writing, and at that time the the organist at the State Kilburn was Sidney Torch.
Yeah. This particular one was Bobby Pagan recorded.
Oh, yes, yes, who I still correspond with.
1950, yeah. Straighten me out, if you will, on one or two musical matters. John, if you and I agreed to meet at the Plough and Sail, where might we be going afterwards?
Oh, yes, we might be in Snape and going to the Maltings.
Maltings, yes, in Aldbrand, that's right. Frank, there's a silk screen print by an American artist, Roy Lichtenstein, that shows a girl singing into a microphone. Lichtenstein calls this picture "The Melody Haunts My Reverie," which is obviously a quotation. From what? The Melody Haunts My Reverie.
And once again with you.
Yeah.
When our love was new.
Et cetera.
And it was a kiss for the inspiration. But that was long ago.
That's
now my inspiration is
in the
Stardust.
Thank you.
The title.
Yes. Ian, we, the My Music team, once appeared at a very posh international festival of music. We were in the town hall, not far from the Pittville Pump Room. How far, Ian, is the Pittville Pump Room from the better-known Pump Room? Approximately.
Aha. Well, very substantial clues there. We were at Cheltenham Festival in the town hall, and presumably the other one is the Pump Room Bath.
Yes.
And you want to know the distance between
roughly,
the two?
Yes, very approximately.
Yeah. I would draw a bow at a venture and say 50 miles.
Yeah, very good, 45 to 50 miles, something like that, yes, from Cheltenham to Bath. Dennis, Frank's question was about Stardust, a song that pretty well everybody knows. But what actually is Stardust?
Well, being of a sort of scientific bent, I've always presumed it's what the Sandman sprinkles to make you go to sleep.
In the corners of your eyes, yeah. Yes, that's a nice thought. Well, that'll do me.
Joan Collins kicks up.
Yeah.
It's actually cosmic dust, meteoric matter in fine particles. Distant stars seem like dust grains. One of the strangest recordings of Stardust, I think, was by the composer himself, Hoagy Carmichael, in which he actually sets about destroying the tune. In other words, he was acting as a jazzman rather than as a composer.
Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, and the melody haunts my reverie, and I am once again with you.
Wrong. It's a case you come across of the composer getting tired of his own work and changing it just to keep himself entertained, I think. There are other examples of that, too. You're always complaining, some of you, or one of you anyway, that in the piano medleys you know the other side's tunes better than you know your own. So this week, the first four tunes are for Ian and Dennis to identify, and the second four for John and Frank.
Start
over there.
It's over here, yes. Liebestraum,
yes. Oh, leading into...
Oh, my beloved father.
Yes, thank you. From Gianni Schicchi. And then...
In the Shade of the Old Apple Tree.
Yeah, good. We're doing well. Now, Ian, what about...
Now we're could you play that again?
Yes. Ian thought it was movie tone news.
I was very desperate.
Yes, it's unpronounceable as far as I'm concerned. It comes from La Traviata.
La Traviata.
Aquel amor, etc. Yes. And then over to the other side. You didn't get that one.
I can't read my writing.
Wasn't that Noses Are Shining in Picardy?
Yeah, it was the second for you. There was one before that.
It was Waltz of My Heart.
Waltz of My Heart.
Waltz of My Heart.
Right. And then Roses of Picardy.
The last piece, you rattle through at such a rate. An unfair...
Underneath the arches. Cast lists, names. John, how many of the 8 men involved in Widdicombe Fair can you reel off, please?
Sneezy.
Any ideas?
It's obvious.
Yes, thank you, audience. Carry on.
Gilbert, Jan Stowe, Peter Gurney, Peter Davey, Donald Whitten, Harry Orr.
Old Uncle Tom Cobley and all. Yeah, very good. Frank, an old song, very old song this. No, perhaps not quite so old, I don't know. The baby's name is...
Franklin D. Roosevelt Jones.
No, topical, but I'll reel them off, because I think this is almost the history of England at that time. The baby's name is Kitchener, Carrington, Methew and Kikiewicz, White, Cromgey, Plumer, Powell, Majuba, Gataker, Warren, Colenso, Kruger, Cape Town, Mafeking, French, Kimberley, Ladysmith, Bobs, Union Jack and Fighting Mac, Lydite, Pretoria, Blobs. That was the baby's name. It's all in a song which you don't recall.
No, I can't help you.
One rather nice thing is that the words of that song were written by Albert Hall. Ian, you'll have a bit more luck, I think. 9 musical instruments that did a famous open-air gig at Helston.
Oh, yes. I thought I could hear the curious tone of the clarinet, cornet, clarinet and big trombone, fiddle, cello, big bass drum, bassoon, flute and euphonium.
Thank you, yes.
Each one making the most of his chance, all together in the floral. You don't want any more. Do you?
Dennis, your turn, Dennis. Who were the girls at Maxim's? As listed by Danny Lowe in The Merry Widow. He actually named 6, so they sound to me like 10 or 11.
They sound to me all the same. Fru, fru, jo, jo, su, su, lulu, moo, moo. The only ones I ever saw there were so-so, you know.
You've got them, yes. Lolo, Dudu, Dodo, Juju, Clo-Clo, Margot, fru, fru.
Fru, fru, I remember, yeah.
Here's a bonus half mark for anybody. Which list of place names ends with Windmill End?
Oh, yes, sir.
Oh, Swan.
Yes, sir.
Ian,
yes.
You got it first. Go on.
Slow train.
Slow train from the drop of another hat, Flanders and Swan, a list of closed down railway stations, yes. Sometimes I get a bit confused between pieces of music. For instance, you know that old music hall favourite, Hold Your Hand Out, Naughty Boy? It's the one that begins... It always reminds me of something operatic. What is it, John, and when, please, was it first produced?
Oh, Rosenkavalier.
Yes, thank you, by Richard Strauss. A date for the first production, approx.
1912?
Yes, 1911. Good. Frank, our producer, Richard Edis, is a horn player, and he will confirm that Richard Strauss wrote very difficult and taxing horn parts. Why was that? Listen to a few bars.
Well, the instrument itself is extremely difficult to play.
Yes.
You got your fist stuck up the bell of the thing, and you have to, like a monkey, you know, with his hand in the jar, the sweet. You can't get it out again. Unless you'll just leave it away from you after the performance.
All true.
It's one of the most difficult instruments to play, I believe.
He wrote very difficult horn parts, perhaps because his father had been a horn player. In fact, he dedicated that first horn
to... Why should he make difficult parts for his father
to get even, I suppose.
That's a supposition. I mean, what proof have you?
I think Frank wanted the world to know what a lovely musician his father was. Back to Der Rosen Cavalier. There's a simple 8-note passage heard near the start that always tears my heart to bits. It's this. I just wanted to hear that again.
Yes.
A bit later on in the opera, in fact in Act Two, comes the really heart-stopping bit. What is that bit called, Ian, and have you any idea who those singers were?
Oh, dear, I was just listening. I wasn't listening
no,
to the singers.
Not fair, really, sorry.
It's called The Presentation of the Rose.
That's right, absolutely.
That poem of Dorothy Parker's called One Perfect Rose, which is about, you know, see, all her lovers always give her one perfect rose. Other girls get diamonds and bracelets. She gets one perfect rose.
The singers, by the way, in that recording were Yvonne Minton and Helen Donut. Dennis, what can I ask you about Der Rosen Cavalier?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. It includes a lovely Viennese waltz at the close of Act Two. The whole of the second act duet between Octavian and Baron Ox is in waltz time, Dennis. In our own day, a musical set in Sweden had a whole score made up of waltz themes. Which one was that?
Well, it was Sondheim, yeah. Little Night Music, based on Smiles on a Summer, Summer Night. I think it was the only one, but it must be one of the very few Broadway musicals where there was no rhythm section in the orchestra.
No. All in triple time and no bass and drums playing rhythm. No. Even the clowns got sent in 3/4 time in that. Turning first to Frank, just for once, there's something I'd like explained. Not for the first time in this series, Frank. You can get a mark for originality rather than for accuracy. So, can you expound for our benefit, please, the strong connection between King Arthur and the Indian Queen?
Yes.
Yes, I thought you might.
Given a moment. It's, King Arthur, one's referring, of course, to Arthur Scargill.
Yes.
Because that's his nickname. Yeah. And the Indian Queen was a sort of tandoori joint in Bradford. And he was there one evening having a black pudding tandoori. And opposite him was this hairdresser who created for him this prawn bouffant hairstyle, which King Arthur has worn ever since.
Now, John, even more briefly, please. What was the connection between the Indian Queen and King Arthur? They were both...
Purcell wrote.
Yes, both works by Henry Purcell. Thank you. Ian, I'll come over to you next. Can you tell me what links, please, Cox, Box and Ivanhoe?
Arthur Sullivan,
yes, that's right. Because?
I suppose Box and Cox was the first.
Yeah, that's right.
And Ivanhoe was the last.
His last, that's right. Dramatic work, exactly, yes. Dennis, you thought I was going to ask you about Box, Cox and Roberts, didn't you?
I was hoping you would.
Well,
yes.
I am. Who were they?
Box and Cox were when would that be? That would be 40s, 30s, 40s, 50s, yes. Writers, composers, and Roberts would be Paddy Roberts, that's who right, also exactly. wrote a lot on his own. Yeah. I'm trying to think what they wrote together. They wrote Horsey Horsey, didn't they?
Yes, they did, yeah. I think, yes, yeah. Box and Cox.
I know what they wrote as well. Yeah. They wrote She's an angel of the great wide way, yeah. A friend to every waif and stray.
Yes. And the Roberts was, as you said, Paddy Roberts. Here he is, just to remind us, singing part of one of his own songs.
Oh, woe is me, and alas, alack, a tear rolls down my cheek, as I tell the story of Nellie Clack, the belle of Barking Creek.
When I was quite small, I was taken to our local theatre to see a production by the Lincoln Amateur Operatic and Dramatic Society of the Arcadians. To say I loved it would be the understatement of all time. I adored it, especially a song sung by our local comedian in those days, Walter Key. I persuaded Frank to revive just the refrain of it.
I've got a motto, always merry and bright. Look around and you will find every cloud is silver lined. The sun will shine, although the sky is a grey one. I've often said to myself, I've said, cheer up, Cully, you'll soon be dead. A short life, the grey one.
The song of Peter Doody, the mournful jockey. He'd been to read aloud to a friend who was ill, if you remember. He was reading him the railway timetable, and he said, I just got to the 8:27 from Bury St. Edmunds to Gravesend when he passed away. Cheer us up, John, with a lovely piece of music, Forêts Pavanes. Of all Dennis's unusual songs, I really think this is one of my favourites. It dates from 1919, hence the use of the word Bolshevik.
When I get my Bolshevik blood up, there's no crime too nasty for me. When I'm in a temper, it's true, I bite a banana in two. I'm known as a born agitator. I'm stirring the whole neighbourhood up. Of all deep-dyed villains, I'm really the worst. For heartless destruction, I've got such a thirst. I'd blow up a baby's balloon till it burst. When I've got my Bolshevik blood up.
That qualifies under glasnostalgia.
Yes. I don't know if any of you knew that song. I certainly didn't until Dennis found a copy of it. Ian's song, though, I did know.
High in the hills, down in the dales, happy and fancy free. Old Father Thames keeps rolling along down to the mighty sea. What does he know? What does he care? Nothing for you or me. Old Father Thames keeps rolling along down to the mighty sea.
He never seems to worry, doesn't care for fortune's fame. He never seems to worry, but he gets there just the same. Kingdoms may come, kingdoms may go, whatever the end may be. Old Father Thames keeps rolling along, down to the mighty sea.
Whatever the end may be, sang Ian. The end, quiz-wise, is a victory this week for Ian and Dennis. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.